Call now to join us, 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
As we continue to cover Shock and Thaw.
Yeah.
I can't even take credit for it. I wish I could. It's the Rick Emerson Show. We're here with F. Matt Peterson, Sarah Dillon, Clyde Lewis, Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom. Coming up this hour, Peter Carlin, TV critic from the Oregonian and all-around hater. Also, today's top five. Top five girls who ought to pose for Playboy magazine, who have not. And so forth. 503-250-1080 in Portland at 1-800-727-5955. Let's get a couple of these calls for the Jolie segment before we go to Tim. Let's get the... Scott, you're a first-time caller
yes.
on a cell phone. What's up, man?
Well, you know, I was just driving back here from Salem, and I was listening to your guys' comments about the pictures
yes.
on the desk.
Yes.
And, you know, I would have to ask this lady one thing.
Yes, Jolie?
If she is sitting in there talking with you at your desk, and your pictures are facing you, then what offense does it of hers to be looking around on your desk to see to find something offensive?
Jolie?
You see them when you walk by. It doesn't matter where they're pointed.
You mean you're walking behind his desk?
Well, no, I don't know what the setup is over there.
Well, it seems like you have the ability to look away.
But that's not the point.
I mean, it's like people who are offended by my show but don't know how to turn the knob to the off position.
It's all about being politically correct, Rick,
yeah,
in this
right.
day and age, and protecting your company.
Political correctness? Yeah, where did you grow up?
It's 1994,
oh,
all
my
over
God,
again.
Still the 90s. We, yeah. You know what? We live in the 21st century.
And it seems
people
like you
know they have penises. People know they have breasts. Come
yeah,
on.
Then you don't have to
and
show
it seems
them,
like you are
parade
past
them
this,
around.
You are past the stage where you should be squeamish about boobies. You know what I mean?
I don't care about the boobs, Rick. It's about respect, okay?
I don't even know what that means.
What's
yes, you do.
What's disrespectful about wearing a swimsuit?
That's what I'm saying.
People do it in the ocean.
It's
people
not
do it
about
everywhere.
Wearing the swimsuit. It's about him having the picture of the girl on his desk.
But it's not
who
just some
that?
Girl. It's not
but
like
nobody knows
it's not
that.
Like he's,
so nobody he's, knows it's his wife.
It's in a picture frame. It's in a picture frame.
Why can't
he's he's presumably in the picture with her. And you know
well,
what?
No, he didn't say that. Say,
what? Like it's just the
you're
woman.
You're reading into the email, Greg.
Like it's just the woman who came in the frame from Fred Meyer or something. You go to somebody's desk and there's a picture. You're in a frame on the desk, it's a fair proposition that
why
it's somebody
can't he
they
have
know.
A picture of her in her clothes?
Because
she's not going to come around the office in her bikini, so she shouldn't be in a picture on the desk in her bikini.
Well, you're talking about him not respecting the other coworkers. How about them not respecting him?
Seriously.
Not really.
What does it say about you if you're offended by the female
form?
He can
have his picture in his car.
All right. Greg,
he's proud of his wife.
Greg, you're on a cell phone. You're a full-time listener. What's up?
All hail Clyde Lewis. Smartest weird guy on the planet.
Yes.
Thank you.
You're never going to give Clyde up. You're never going to let him down.
If you love him, you'll bring him lunch.
You know who gets really offended at the pictures of having a picture of your wife?
Who?
In a bikini?
It's harpies.
Flabby,
that's what I'm saying.
Shrill, nasty looking harpies that nobody would ever want to have in the first place.
That's not true.
No, it
that's
is
great.
No,
saying,
no. No.
Well, I'm just, but there's an astonishing number of normal-looking women who really do feel this way, though. I mean, they're typically found on college campuses, but not exclusively. But, I mean, I'll guarantee you Reed has many women like this.
Yeah, most of them have hairy legs, hairy armpits, really short mullet haircuts, like stripe pickups,
yeah.
with little rainbow stickers, and love to fish, too.
But no, no.
I don't want to do any of them.
Or you got a road crew. Yeah. All right, that's Greg. Dan is a full-time listener in McMinnville. What's up, Dan?
Hey, you know, the thing is, if she had a picture of some big buff dude or Chippendales guy, if we were offended by it, it would be a joke. You know? If us as males were to go to HR and say, you know, we're offended by that picture, it would just kind of go by the wayside.
Well, and the more telling point is that we wouldn't be offended by it because
yeah.
it's like, you know, you may not want to see, like, if she's got some pictures of a hot dude, it's not like, you know, you want to go up there and stare at it all day. But on the other hand, it's not going to scar me either. It's not going to, like, it's not going to give me psychic damage if I have to see it.
Like Greg said, just a bunch of harpies. That's all it is.
That's what I'm saying.
So you're not the one that has been, you know, for years and years exploited, Rick. And it's about time we turn the tables.
You. What are you, an Ecuadorian slave laborer?
Oh, like Jesus, Rick.
Like you're from men aren't exploited.
You know what I'm talking about, okay?
Like you're from Cameroon.
Men
or
aren't
something.
Exploited? Come on.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, tell me you'd want to do a love scene with Chris Farley. Give me a break here.
I love Chris Farley.
Danny DeVito showed his hairy butt in a love scene. You would
if
be
I got paid $5 million, I sure would.
What, do a love scene with Danny DeVito?
All right, tell you what. We're going to do that. We're going to go to Tim. When we come back, we'll get some more comments on this, and we'll see what Peter Carlin has to have about all this. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland. We'll back momentarily. Here's Tim Riley in the KHK Newsroom.
It's not just news. It's news with Tim Riley. Live from the newsroom of Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Police believe teenage pranksters are hacking into the wireless frequency at a Burger King drive-thru, telling customers they're too fat. The policeman said the pranksters told one customer who placed an order, quote, "You don't need a couple of rompers. You're too fat. Pull ahead." The officers...
Thank you, drive-thru.
They say the kids are reportedly tapping into the wireless frequency at the restaurant in Troy, Michigan. They believe the culprits are watching the broadcast from closer range. The men are telling customers to order a Coca-Cola. "We don't have Coke." Then the customer asks, "What do they have?" And the hacker says, "We don't have anything. Pull ahead." Then the manager apologizes to all customers who have been insulted by use of this drive-through speaker. They reportedly tried to change the radio frequency. Well, it's long been said that a dog is a man's best friend, but a Dutch dog trader is taking that relationship one step further, offering doggy dancing lessons to people who want a canine dancing partner. 10 owners and their dogs, including a border collie and a German shepherd, have signed up to learn to waltz, tango, and boogie at Annette Helder's training school in the Netherlands. Dogs love to get attention from their owners. You teach dogs certain basic steps like weaving, circling, walking backwards, rolling over.
It's a dog.
No kidding.
He charges $60 for 8 lessons.
Brain the size of a walnut. What? Find a girlfriend, okay?
What if I bring pictures of my dog in a bikini? What then? I mean,
then we put you in a small room.
He's
and look
kind
at
of
you
furry.
Through a,
I'll say, this is my bitch.
Yeah.
And it would be offensive to you, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would. You do that, we look at you through a small window in a room forever.
Next news, what it happens. I'm Tim Riley.
All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show with a heart full of hate and a head full of snakes. Our good friend, TV critic in the Oregonian, Peter Carlin. What's up, man?
Hey.
How was your New Year?
It was snowy.
Were you here?
No, I was up at Blackbeard, so it was even snowier there.
Because you're heading down to L.A. for a while, right?
That's on Sunday, yeah.
What, you got a TV critics thing or whatever?
Yeah.
What do they do, like 5 to 10 times a year? It's like you're always going there.
That's twice a year.
And when you die, that's what happens. You have to go to L.A. all the time. When you end up in L.A. Okay, let me ask you this. Now, I don't know what you all do with the Oregonian. You all, you're a media company, so clearly being controlled by the leftist, branch of this, country.
That's what I read on the internet.
That's part of the liberal media conspiracy, Peter. We got this email from a guy.
Yeah.
And the guy says, after escaping Portland for some warmer locales, I put some vacation photos in a frame on my desk, and apparently one of them was a picture of this guy's girlfriend in a bikini.
Yeah.
And so he said it hadn't even been there in 2 days when somebody, they wouldn't tell him who, came by or had complained about it, and the HR person came by, gave him a big lecture, made him take it down. And his question was, why can't people just, mind their own business? And so what's your take? Where do you fall on that?
Well, if I were, I haven't seen the picture, so I don't know what his woman friend looks like, and how skimpy or revealing the bikini was. I think that whoever complained maybe ought to, just chill out, and if you don't like it, don't look at it.
That's what I'm saying.
But if you're sitting there, it's a totally sexualized portrait, is she just, giving him the old give it to me baby look? Or
I don't know, I'm presuming she's not the... she's not slamming the ham or anything in it. I don't know.
What was that?
Slamming the ham.
Oh, yes.
But the bikini's a bikini. It doesn't matter how skimpy or non-skimpy it is. It's skimpy.
Okay, but here's the thing I don't get, is that you've got breasts. You see them all the time. You see them every day.
Rick,
that's my whole thing. Look, if it was, it's a picture of some
guy's
salami
up there. Yeah,
I'm
tired of looking at the boobs, maybe. Maybe that's what it is.
What if I had a picture of you in a bikini on my desk?
No, you would not ever have a picture of me in a bikini on your desk.
What if I did?
No, you wouldn't.
Offended, wouldn't that hurt your feelings?
No, because they're not offended because, it's a picture of somebody...
This is a good. This is a good question. What if your husband Jolie had a picture of you on his desk, and somebody came by and said, "Oh God, you've got to take that down." Wouldn't you feel a little offended?
No.
Why?
Because he wouldn't have it in there in the first place.
Well, oh, come on, but we're speaking hypothetically here.
Because they're
so
not...
So play in my little hypothetical
right, okay.
room for crying out loud, so I can figure out where your brain's at.
All right. They wouldn't be offended by it and tell you to take it down because it's ugly. Just like the other person that asked that told the HR to take it down. It's not because the person's ugly. It's because it's offensive. It's disrespectful.
To who? To who's being disrespected?
To everybody that's around it. To the woman that's in the picture.
Wait. I'm sorry. I'm lost.
Oh,
what's disrespectful? God. Hanging up the picture?
You're admiring the picture.
Naked, half-naked people. It's disrespectful in the workplace.
Are you offended when you go to the beach and there's people in bikinis?
No, I don't work at the beach, Rick.
Yeah, well, I understand that.
Well, I think that this is like one of these questions where it's like people get too litigious too fast. On the one hand, our friend with the photo maybe needs to, like, dial back his, you know, the sense of intimacy he seems to want to share with everyone at the office. And then second of all, the person who's not down with the intimacy, as opposed to, like, dropping a dime on the guy and taking it down to HR, might find another way to, you know... It's one of these just human relationship things that everyone's got to, like, turn into a big federal case.
Yeah, why can't we do it personally? Why can't you just go and say, look, your picture offends me, take it down?
That's the thing. It's like the HR department is the worst thing that ever happened to American business, you know, because it used to be used for actual, you know, it's one thing if the boss says, like, give it up or I'm going to fire you. I mean, that's one thing. But, I mean, that's a world apart from you don't like a picture on a guy's desk. And it's like it's all been reduced to one common denominator.
And also, the other thing is that we have no idea, like, whether this is part of a pattern of behavior that this fellow has in terms of being too intimate with people. I mean, even if he's not doing it in that kind of aggressive way, he may make people uncomfortable if he's always...
That's what I'm saying.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like we don't have enough information to really get into this conversation.
That doesn't stop us from...
Okay, yeah. But here's the point. The point is that if you men wouldn't have started, you know, pawing all over the woman in the office, you know, way back when... No,
what?
We don't. And if you wouldn't, you know, be looking at your Playboys all over the workplace
and
have them...
What are you talking about? What are you talking... Where do
people
you...
People do that. I have heard that, Rick.
No.
Clyde, God.
No, they
but
don't.
But that's the point. The point is it's gotten to this... To how it is today because of you men.
Jesus.
Sorry. I'm really sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you want reparations? I got nothing.
No, I'm just trying to make my point and you guys aren't listening.
Let's get just a couple more here. Let's get the good friend the Low in Portland. What's up? Can we get the Mac? We get the second phone bus there.
Hello.
Yeah. What's up, man?
Hey, man. This whole respect thing is stupid, and there's two reasons. And it started with her give a woman the respect you'd give your mom statement.
Uh-huh.
And number one, if I treated her as I treated my mom, I would never be quote unquote pleasured.
Yeah, you'd never
ever
get laid. You treat a woman like you treat your mom.
You'd
you're gonna
get laid more than you would
life.
Ever know.
And two, unless you are my mom. You can kiss my Siamese cheeks. My mom has earned my respect by what she's done for me in my life. You are just a chick. And
no,
thinking
I am
that
not.
Having feminine plumbing enables you to some elevated level of treatment and respect is just ludicrous. And you need to get over it and get over yourself.
Get over the vagina.
Please.
Overcome your vagina.
Oh, all right.
I'm damn sure over it, baby.
That's the low. That's overcoming vagina by Jolie.
Shut up.
One more.
Wow.
Let's get one
you're
more.
Like dog, sorry about that. Look, the guy who wrote the letter. Let me step outside there. The guy who wrote the letter.
I thought
position.
Matt was doing that.
Yeah. He's in a great position because for the guy to come up, or whoever it is, a girl or Harpy or whatever, and complain about the picture on a desk, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. That gives him basically license to go through the entire office and point out all the other.
Yeah, so that guy should just start going around and criticizing things in other people's
desk. He's in a great position. If they did that to me and say, I don't like whatever on your desk, man, I'd say, great. And I've only got like 10,000 desks to look at. I'd go through all the desks and say, well, I don't like that, and I don't like that, I don't like that.
Yeah,
because then
gives...
you're going to hit a manager or a harpy, like, you know.
Because it gives everybody veto power over everything that everybody else does.
Yeah,
that's
the
problem. And this whole idea that if one person is offended, the thing is offensive, which
is
just like a load. It's just a huge...
See what you've caused, Jolie? This is your fault.
Yeah, it's always my fault. Just keep blaming
it's
me.
It's a vaginal thing. I'm telling you right now.
I'm with you on
that. You know what? You guys just don't have enough balls to stand up for what you believe
Ooh,
in.
I'm offended!
Oh, you can't
say
that
on the radio.
All right, there you go. That's Mike, and there's Jolie from the front desk. All right. Okay, sorry you had to walk into the middle of this whole thing, Peter.
This little border war here the frontiers of the sexual revolution.
Yeah, well, it's like this. At least you don't have to work here. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think men of all people of good conscience, no matter what they think of this issue, can agree that bitches ain't nothing but hoes and tricks. Am I right, guys? Am I right?
On that note, we'll be back in a moment with more scintillating wisdom from the mouth of Peter Carlin. Stay there. We'll be back. It's the Rick Emerson Show.
Bitches, hoes, all that stuff ought to be legal.
Rick Emerson, live from Portland, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
I might as well just end the show and go home now, because that we've peaked right there. That's it.
We only have another... From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
Good afternoon, I'm Tim Riley. This deals is brought to you by the Kingston Bar and Grill. Diane Keaton already has a Golden Globe nomination for her role in Something's Gotta Give, which means that Oscar probably isn't far behind. Diane told writer-director Nancy Myers that she loved the script, but Jack would never do it.
It's impossible for me to put my brain into her point of view. So I have stuck with my own opinion, and my opinion was that Jack Nicholson would never put himself in a movie where he plays the bad boy and learns a lesson and loves somebody who's his contemporary. I mean, frankly, I thought, no way.
Why did you think Jack would never do this film, Diane?
Because I didn't feel like that was a lesson that he was wanting or needed to be a participant in. He didn't need it. And yet, then, now, in retrospect, I think, though, that's been the mark of his career. The mark of Jack Nicholson's career is that he takes parts based on writing. And this is a beautiful script, and he liked the script, and he's always been a brave warrior.
Okay. That motion picture is called Something's Gotta Give. It's now playing. Cloudy this afternoon, highs in the mid-40s. More showers coming in over the weekend, but it is warming up. Highs will be in the 40s for most of it. Tim Riley, KOTK News.
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
That's right. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland at 1-800-727-5955. We're here with Peter Carlin, TV critic from the Oregonian. Later on this hour, today's top five. Top five girls who should pose for Playboy who have not. All right, so Peter, you had a great article, by the way. I think it was Wednesday. You had an article about the snow coverage. Wednesday, Tuesday?
Yeah, I think it was Wednesday.
Man, and it's like still going on. They're starting to finally taper off to some things. But it's like I woke up yesterday morning and I Keiju was...
And now 43rd consecutive hour of snow coverage.
It's like how much is there you can possibly cover?
Yeah. I know. I was beginning to get tired of it my own self.
And then they do the... somebody suggested that we have a snow coverage drinking game, you know, because it's like the same... You know, because every time there's snow coverage... I mean, you know this. There's stuff that you're guaranteed to see. Like, there's the person standing outside pointing the camera at the snow.
Yeah.
And there's the person... What was it? Everybody's doing the thing where they had the cup of water.
Oh, yeah, you know, I noticed that. Everyone had their own cup of water and their own little... And then they were also wielding thermometers. See, it is cold.
Wielding... Well, my whole thing is like, they claim to have this business where they can spot the storm coming like 5 days away, and either they're just lying about that, or they did spot the storm 5 days away, and the city just sort of acted completely unprepared for it anyway.
No, they were prepared. Don't be that way, man. They had everything. The thing is that the city just doesn't have the infrastructure, nor do we need the infrastructure to really combat these things in the sort of, military-like, way that they do it in cities that get these blizzards all the time. I mean, when was the last time anything like this happened here?
Well, it's true. I mean, it doesn't snow a whole lot here.
It's like, how many plows? It's like, that would be a whole other thing to get all discombobulated about if, 9 out of 10 winters, you just got, like, this whole fleet of snow plows, rusting away with nothing to do. Everyone would be really grumpy about that as a huge waste of resources. And then once a decade or so, you get these big blowout storms and the city gets paralyzed for a couple days and everyone's like, they were unprepared.
I guess my whole thing is this idea that it somehow... I had a radio consultant tell me one time, he said, weather is not news. You know, and
yeah, except it's ratings, my friend.
Yeah, but I don't think that's true. I mean, no. do you really
dude,
think?
Talk to the hot ratings, as we say. The people using TV ratings were up like 100% or more, and all the stations were getting vast numbers of viewers.
I think that's because
don't you go be telling me they ain't no viewers.
This is like 4 days of tornado coverage. I mean, if a tornado.
Yeah, but at least tornadoes are interesting to look at, though. Yeah. There's destruction.
Yeah, but here's the thing: you've got a literally captive audience because no one really wants to go outside, and I get bored of it too. I didn't want to see it, and maybe they'd get even higher ratings if they were actually broadcasting stuff that was more fun to watch. And there was a point at which the coverage just gets ludicrous and repetitive. But on the other hand, people are clear. The thing about TV is that it's just enormously democratic. And the moment people don't want to watch anymore and they turn the channel, boom, it's gone and they're on to something else. They're not going to jam stuff down your throat that like the vast moronic public doesn't want to see.
You could tell that they were perched out by this Fred Meyer today because they were waiting for the roof to cave in, and it was like a palpable giddiness in the air as soon as the part of the tile started to fall. Yeah, it's like they were just, you could tell that there was like they wanted to do everything but give an Indian war whoop on the air. They were so happy that the roof finally caved in.
Did it? Wait, which Fred Meyer was this?
Fred Meyer in Gateway? Yeah, it's like 101st or something, and it's like part of the foyer, the roof kind of collapsed and caved in, and they're trying to do that Anna Song thing where they're like simultaneously really exuberant about it but wanting to sound sorrowful about the gravity of the situation at the same time.
Yeah.
And shed a tear, too.
Hey, on another tip, as the kids say, now I know you share me in being a fan of Arrested Development.
Oh, yeah.
Which, and by the way, is there any word on how Fox is feeling about that? Because I live in fear that it's gonna get axed.
Well, they re-upped it for the whole season, okay. So that's good. That's a good sign. They're not going to just ditch it after a few weeks. I think they're really going to try to grow this one. I wouldn't be surprised, especially since it just won a critics poll, the TV Week poll. Oh. It was voted, like, by myself and my colleagues as the best show on network TV now.
Do you vote in a lot of that stuff? Do you vote? Are you like an Emmy voter?
No, but that's different. This was the TV critics.
Yeah,
thing.
I know. I'm just saying.
But that's it's the Academy of TV morons that's in the Emmy thing.
Well, I don't know. I don't know how they do that. I thought that it was a rotating list of judges, and because just every year they picked whatever like 500 random people or something.
No, for the Emmys.
Yeah.
Now that's all total insider game. You have to actually work in the industry for that.
Yeah, that's why it's so terribly done, apparently.
Something like that.
But okay, well, because a lot of the shows on Fox, like the Andy Richter show, springs to mind.
Yeah.
Like they sort of give their support and then they yank it away later on.
But this one though is getting such overwhelmingly fantastic critical feedback.
Well, and Fox themselves, it's got that good spot right behind Malcolm in the Middle.
Mm-hmm.
And so Fox, it does seem like they're putting a little bit of marketing muscle behind it. So,
yeah, it ain't doing badly. It's just not doing terrific. And it's one of those shows where you could see, like, they must be thinking, like, I bet if we, let's cultivate this one for a while. I wouldn't be surprised if, even if it's getting, like, C-minus ratings, that they put it on again next fall. Just to see if, and really hype it over the summer and repeats to try to get people to come in to watch it. There are all kinds of tricks they can run. And also, I think you can't take too lightly the fact that it's produced by Ron Howard and his
Brian
pal.
Brazier.
They're not exactly midgets in that world.
Well, and everybody made a big deal about the fact that Liza Minnelli was a guest on it. But I was just reading this today that Heather Graham from, Boogie Nights, a roller girl there. She's going to be on Arrested Development later this year. She's going to play George Michael's teacher.
Oh, really?
And so Jason Bateman and George Michael will be vying for the affection of Heather Graham as a sexy school teacher. And it's, the thing about the show is, and I should go on and on about this, but I just tell people that everybody just fell over themselves for years to praise Seinfeld because it was so sort of merciless and it had those great interweaving plot lines, which Arrested Development, I think, does even better.
Yeah.
I mean, really, I got to tell people that, it's like if you are a big fan of sitcoms, especially ones that are done intelligently and that have a real sort of black wit to them,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you cannot do better. I mean, I would say, for my money, with the exception of things that are running on, like, HBO, which we'll talk about in a second, on regular television, I would say Arrested Development is hands down the funniest thing going.
Oh, yeah, it makes it, I not only laugh out loud, which I rarely do, but it makes my wife laugh out loud, and she never laughs out loud.
And it's got depth, it's got some sentiment occasionally, but they don't cheat to do it. I mean, they get there honestly. I mean, it's fantastic. Now, I have Curb Your Enthusiasm. Have I missed it? Has it already started?
Yeah, last Sunday.
Oh, okay. Because you wrote a real rave review of it. So I guess I'm a week behind on missing it. But you said that this is the best season you've seen so far.
Well, there was one episode, the fourth episode this year, which was just about the funniest thing I'd ever seen. But yeah, there's some very, very funny, funny moments. It does seem to be really coming together in a wonderful way. It's a great show. If you don't already get HBO, this is the year to get HBO, by the way, and as fast as possible, because you got your Curb Your Enthusiasm, you got The Sopranos coming up in just a few weeks, another Six Feet Under series, and if you're into Sex and the City, which I am not, that's coming to its climax this next few weeks.
I have never met anyone in my life, with the exception of people, the only people I've ever met that like Sex and the City are women who used to live in New York. I know two women who like Sex and the City, and they're both women who used to live in Manhattan, and I've never met anybody else. It's like that thing how the Dukes of Hazzard used to be like number 5 and number 3 and number 1 constantly, but I never met anybody who admitted to watching it.
Right.
Sex and the City is the same thing. I've never met anybody who will describe themselves as a fan of the show.
I know people who are, you know, and they're not necessarily women that lived in Manhattan, but I think that, you know, and people just go bananas, or at least the media does. They write about it as if it's like one of these landmark TV series, and I just don't see it. There are aspects of it. There's some sort of nice, sort of funny, slapsticky aspects to it that I think are funny.
Well, it's not discernibly different to me than that Dream On show that you used to run, you know, 10 years ago or whatever, with Brian Beebe.
To me, it's a prequel to The Golden Girls. That's the way I look at it. Like, I mean, Kim Cattrall reminds me that my plumbing still works, but that's about as far as it goes.
Yeah.
She makes you pee?
No, that's Golden Showers.
Yeah. Well.
I'd have reached a new low here. Real quickly, did you see that the Donald Trump show, The Apprentice?
Yeah, I did.
Is it any good? I know it was
on. Yeah, it's not bad. Because he's such a crazy, loathsome figure. And but in terms of these it got a nice twist on the reality show thing. And I have to say, I kind of enjoyed it. And the mark of the extent to which I actually seriously enjoyed it was the version I saw. They sent me a in advance of it, didn't have, like, the final act where somebody gets booted. So I don't know who got booted, and I've been, like, digging around the internet trying to find that out today. Does anybody know?
Anyone?
Anyone watch that show?
No. Anyone here?
I missed it last night. I was asleep.
I did see a preview of The Surreal Life, though. I liked it. I think this is a good pairing of all the cast members.
Well, I'm for anything that's got Tammy Baker and Ron Jeremy living in a house. And Eric Estrada. How great is that, Eric Estrada?
Yeah. Well, Jeremy develops a crush with Tammy Faye, too. I think it's interesting.
I totally have a crush on Tammy Faye.
I love Tammy Faye.
Just because she's just freaky and weird.
She seems a little obnoxious on the show, though.
She's not obnoxious.
No, she's
sweet.
She's cute. She's adorable.
See, I miss the whole Tammy Faye Baker period, so I appreciate her.
So we'll find out. So we need to find out who got kicked off the Donald Trump show, and we'll pass that along to you, Peter Carlin.
Yeah.
All right. What's coming up in the Oregonian?
Another thing tomorrow, just sort of odds and ends about the weather coverage thing, and then I'm off to L.A., so there'll be lots of stuff next week from Hollywood.
Excellent. So will we be talking to you next Friday?
I don't know. I hope so. It depends. I don't know what's going on Friday. If I have a free moment in the afternoon, I'll give you a buzz.
All right, so we'll talk to you next Friday. If not, then the week after that. So travel. Are you going to be happy? Are you going to be able to fly out of here? Are things going to be back to normal, or is it backlogged?
I think they're open for business today out there.
Excellent. All right, well, travel safe, man. We will talk to you soon.
All right.
All right, there you go. Peter Carlin, you can read him in print in the Oregonian, online at OregonLive.com. Real quickly, we'll come back to the top five. We're going to a couple shows coming up. Tonight, you got Cabin Fever, and I know you do. If you got Cabin Fever tonight, you want to get out of the house, you want to go see some... tonight you can see SK and the Punk-Ass Bitches, along with the Glory Holes. That's at the Twilight, 14th and Powell. Twilight, it's a small place, but it's cool. The Twilight, that's tonight at the Twilight. It's a free show, by the way. Tomorrow, Dead Man Disco, Blue Turns White, and our good friend Inflict, featuring our pal Russ. 36 Crazy Fish 2 at the Ash Street Saloon. That's $8. That's tomorrow. Inflict and 36 Crazy Fish at the Ash Street. The ICM Club, is this tomorrow? Sarah?
That's tonight.
Tonight at the ICM Club, Shift, Earl King, Leadface, and Wake. Going to be there. It's 8 p.m. That's $5. And finally, tomorrow night, the Holy Hell Yaz. What a great name for a... I don't even care what they play. I love that band. the Holy Hell Yaz and the Altar Boys, along with the Dry County Crooks, our good friends of the Dry County Crooks, tomorrow at Beulah Land. That's at 118 Northeast 28th. That's tomorrow, the Holy Hell Yaz, the Altar Boys, and Dry County Crooks at Beulah Land. So we got more. We're back with the top five here in just a moment. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK. From their CD, The One That Got Away, this is the Dry County Crooks. We'll be back on the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere.
It's a gloomy mid-December morning. I was turning wrenches at the shop when this deep voice come over the airwaves. Struck a nerve, you know I had to stop. Well, I hovered over that beat-up, kicked in AM radio. Took it in and I started to grin. I was dying to know. Well, that DJ said it was a Johnny Cash singing I Walk the Line. I can't deny the shivers down my spine. I can't deny the tears that come to my eyes. You know that song gets me every single time, and all the rest, they have the same effect. Well, I went out and I bought me them Folsom Prison Blues. And in my simple mind, it's got to be one of the best. You know I played them songs all day and night. Till my wife said, give them songs a rest. Well, I'm no country boy, but I do pretend to be. I love them old country songs and their sincerity. Especially when it's a Johnny Cash singing, I Walk the Line. And I can't deny the shivers down my spine. I can't deny the tears that come to my eyes. You know that song gets me every single time, and all the rest, they have the same effect.
Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Got an opinion? Pick up the phone and call. Lines are open at 503-250-1080 or toll-free 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Bitches ain't nothing but hoes and tricks. The best Peter Carlin moment ever. All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland and 1-800-727-5955. Let's roll it. Here's your top five.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, fire.
Counting is wonderful. Counting is marvelous. Counting's the best thing to do. Counting is happiness. Counting is ecstasy. I love to count, don't you?
Here's Tim Riley in the KFTK newsroom.
And earlier this week, Hugh Hefner said that the two women he'd like most to see pose for Playboy magazine are Britney Spears and Catherine Zeta-Jones. Not to us. That's just the tip of one long airbrushed iceberg, so we humbly offer our suggestions to the great man himself. These are the top five women who should pose for Playboy magazine who haven't. Honorable mention going to Jessica Simpson.
Jessica Simpson only because you know what? She's not really going to be attracted to me until we dirty her up a little bit. She's just too pure, you know, in a bland kind of way to be hot. She doesn't even, I don't even really think she's got a bad girl underneath. It's like, you know, Christina, when Christina was here. It's like, you know that you pressed hard enough, I think there's a little bad girl in Christina. With Jessica Simpson, she's just
Christina
bland.
Christina had history of being a bad girl.
Stole
too.
A car.
She was a reformed bad girl.
Jessica Simpson's just boring, and so she needs to be grubbied up a little bit.
And at number five, Tiffany Thiessen.
Tiffany Thiessen from from Saved by the Bell, 90210, Fastlane.
You know she's a bad girl, too.
Dude, and you want to see the best ever shot of Tiffany Thiessen. It's in the Woody Allen film Hollywood Ending. There's a prolonged sequence of just her in a bra and panties trying to seduce Woody Allen, who's gone blind and can't see her, so he's not being seduced by her, so she keeps trying harder. It's the best thing you've ever seen in your life.
Number four, Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Enough said.
Oh, yeah.
I would like that.
A hot chick in tight leather pants who battles the undead. Could anything be hotter than that? Yes, if she was nude.
The nice little headline, Buffy in the Buff.
Buffy in the Buff.
There you go.
Hey, way to go. See, it's inevitable. You've just, that's, it's the Buffy headline is the so buff. Perfect, they have to do it now.
Number three, Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Jennifer Love Hewitt, just so we can all quit wondering. It's the same reason that Dolly Parton really should have done it. Just because I just don't like the fact that a certain portion of my brain, you know, we'll always wonder what Dolly Parton looks like nude. Same thing with Jennifer Love Hewitt. It's like a big chunk of our brains is just going to be preoccupied with obsessing about what her breasts look like uncovered until she just does it so we can quit stressing about it. You know what I mean? Are you with me?
Yes.
Not even for such a blatant, like, you know, I don't know, sort of reason there. I just want to see her naked.
Yes.
Number two, any of the women, past or present, of the Rick Emerson Show.
You know what I'm saying?
That's a little creepy.
It's not. Look, it's the reason I almost made an honorable mention. Because here's the thing. And I'm not saying so much for me. Because you know that I have a warm, brotherly affection for you, Sarah. You know that I view you like a sort of a
co-worker.
You know, sort of a whining.
Every once in a while when you give me those long, lingering hugs. <that's kind of
laughs> No, I view you as sort of a complaining, slightly ungrateful sister. You know, that's how I view. No, but I'm just saying for the people. No, this is a thing we'd be doing for the people. Because, you know, for the people, you can pick any woman. You can pick randomly. Any woman, past or present, associated with the Rick Emerson Show. And I knew that we would be doing a service for mankind. For everywhere. And for probably not a small number of women in the audience, too.
Number one, Lauren Graham.
There you go. Because the only way you can make the hottest mom hotter is by nuding her up a little bit in Playboy magazine.
And she showed us the dirty side in Bad Santa.
That's me, Santa.
She's just begging to get nude in a magazine.
That's what I'm talking about. All right, we'll do this. We'll come back, wrap it up. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Stay there.
Rick.
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
We now enter the saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. Oh, by the way, that show at the ICM Club is tomorrow, I guess, with Shift, Earl King, Lead Face. Are we officially running out of band names? And Wake. That's Northeast... It's whatever. I don't even know where it is. 8 p.m., 5 o'clock, ICM Club. So go see that.
The holy hell, yeah. So
but tonight, SK and the punk-ass bitches bust the glory holes. So take Grandma and the kids to them. By the way, don't forget, we are now, it's Friday, we're now 1 week away from the opening of Bigger Than Jesus at the Imago Theater. Next Friday...
Wait, Rick, are there any tickets left for that? I need to get mine still.
It's amazing that you should ask. Let me answer that by saying yes, a resounding yes. We're doing it two weekends, 16th, 17th, and then the 23rd, 24th. So it's 1 week from what is today, the 9th? Yeah, so 1 week from today. So opening night tickets still available, so you can get them at rickemerson.com. Major credit cards accepted 24/7. We'll talk a little bit more about it next week. But now with 30% less sucking and 30% brand new material to get you to see it twice, Gene Simmons style. So there you go. Bigger Than Gene. Well, you know.
It's a great show. And a lot of people are like, you know, hesitant, wondering if they don't know if their musical tastes are going to be theirs. It doesn't matter. This is about life. It's about growing up. It's about, I don't know, it's a great show.
I'll say, you'll laugh, you'll cry.
You'll laugh, you cry, you feed your face. You know?
So, you've never seen anything quite like it, so do that. What's coming up on Ground Zero tonight?
Tonight we talk about, hopefully, if I get my producer in, we're going to talk about the Skull and Bone Society.
Listen to that. Hopefully, if John shows up, we can be bothered to come to work tonight.
The snow has just kept everybody from coming in. So.
Oh, please. We've all got problems. It didn't stop any of us from getting it. Can I just tell you this? We made it through this entire week, and Sarah was in Chicago the first day, so that's not really, doesn't really count. We made it through this entire week. Not one person on this show missed 1 minute of the program because of you had to walk here.
Yes.
Well, all five of us.
I missed yesterday's entire
show. Yeah, but that's
show.
Because you were working all night for somebody else. John couldn't make it into work. Not one person on this program missed a minute of work because of the snow. So
I know we're broadcasters. We're supposed to be superhuman, so hopefully John will come in. If that's the case, we will be talking about the Skull and Bone Society tonight. And I've been busily trying to get David Icke on the show this weekend.
Talk about how they're...
all reptilians, every goddamn one of them.
There you go. We went to the next CNN radio correspondent, Gary Baumgarten. Clyde Lewis, of course, Ground Zero, Friday, 10 to 1, Saturday, 10 to 1, Sunday, 8 to 10.
Yes.
Peter Carlin from the Oregonian, Jolie from the front desk, Kristen from accounting, Brittany, Mandy Moore, and all that. As always, the Rick Emerson Show is produced today and every day by the lovely Sarah Dillon for Hot Talk 1080 KOTK. In the newsroom, Tim Riley, executive producer 1, F. Matt Peterson. Be safe this weekend, drive carefully, and we will see you Monday at noon for the KOTK noon news hour. As always, don't let the bastards grind it down. Thank you for listening. See you on Monday. Bye.
Bitches ain't nothing but hoes and tricks.
Live from Portland, it's Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.